Dear friends in Jesus Christ, welcome on this day of Ascension 2021. I'm thrilled to see all of you with us today. Thinking about the situation of the world, what was going on? We had all fallen into sin. We were all in grave trouble. There was nothing we could do to fix it. So what did God do? God took action. When I think about the Christ and I think about Ascension Day, I always think about what I like to call the Big Five. What are the Big Five? Well, you've heard me say it before, but the Big Five, it fits in nice with a single hand. So we're talking about Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Now, there are other things we could say too, but I only have five right here to work with. There are certainly other things, but the Big Five though. So his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. A great way to talk to someone about Jesus. What can we say to people? He was born from the Virgin Mary. He was born perfect, without sin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to take away our sins. He was raised on the third day, God the Father showing us that he accepted his sacrifice, his payment to take away our sins, and then his ascension. So now he is with God in heaven, and he is ruling over all things for the good of those who trust in him. Wow, we are so blessed through Jesus Christ. On this Ascension 2021, I want to touch a little bit on what was going on between the day Jesus rose from the dead and the day he ascended into heaven. We're going to focus on the day itself, the day of Ascension. And then we're going to talk a little bit after that as to what should be going on between now and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of covers everything in a way. The other thing I'm doing today, it's a little bit different, but understand that in the Bible, two of the key passages on ascension are in Acts chapter 1 and Luke chapter 24. Now keep in mind, both of those, in both cases, it was Luke who was moved by the Holy Spirit to write those things down. The two accounts are not identical, they're a little bit different. But what I'm doing today is I'm going to put the two together in chronological order. So it'll give a little bit more fullness to the day of Ascension, more so than I ever caught before myself until I had put them together here just recently. Going on in the sermon then, the first part we're coming to, we're in Acts chapter 1, picking up in verse 3, and the Bible says, "To the apostles, Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." So what was going on there between the time God the Father raised him from the dead and the time he ascended? He was appearing to various people at one time, a group of over 500, to prove to them, yes, I am alive. So Jesus really, truly died on a cross. It was a horrible, painful death. It really happened. He really paid for our sins. And then God the Father truly raised him back to life again. So that's part of what was going on to show that he was alive. Another key thing he did during that time is he talked about the kingdom of God. That phrase appears in 65 verses in the New Testament. So it's a pretty important phrase to appear that many times. What can we say about the kingdom of God? Well, it is a kingdom that belongs to God. There is only one doorway into the kingdom, and the doorway is Jesus Christ. And all who know Jesus and pass through the door into the kingdom, they are blessed now and forever. Going on here, we come now to some important reminders. With what I'm going to share with you here from Luke chapter 24, this does happen on the day of Ascension, but it had to have happened in a different location other than the location from where Jesus ascended. The Bible says here in Luke 24, "Then Jesus opened their minds," talking here about his disciples, "opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Why do I say that happened at another place other than the place from where he ascended? Right after that, the Bible says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany." So they were in one location. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures in various ways, and then he led them to another location on the same day that he did ascend into heaven. What about understanding the scriptures? Let's understand that you and I are so blessed to have the understanding that we do. Why did God give us that understanding? He gave us that understanding because we have this desire within us to want to know what the scriptures say. So approaching the scriptures with that attitude and then spending time in the Bible, not only reading it, but thinking about it and praying about it. What does God do? God opens our hearts and minds to understand the scriptures. Wow, we are so blessed. And then it talked in there about proclaiming. So when Jesus told his disciples to proclaim, in a way that's talking about us too. We should go out and proclaim. What should we be proclaiming? Well, it should be simple. We should be talking about sin and salvation. So we're proclaiming law, pointing to our sin. We're proclaiming salvation, pointing to Christ and his work. People, in a general sense, don't know those things. They might agree that they've done something wrong, but they don't understand the full impact of sin. They might have heard of Jesus, but they probably really don't know that much about him as to exactly who he is or what he has done. People need to know such things. And then he talked about this key phrase we find in the Bible over and over again. He talked about repentance for forgiveness of sins. Repentance for forgiveness of sins. I want to talk about this topic here in a way I've never quite talked about it before, but I want to do it in a way that we can hopefully easily remember. So if we go back to the one I mentioned earlier, of course I mentioned about the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Let's do five things on the topic of repentance. So first of all, understand that with all five of them, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we can't do any of them, but when we are open to the things of God, the Holy Spirit works through the Word in order to work these things within us and within others as well. So what does the Holy Spirit do first? He shows us our sin. What does he do second? He shows us that because of our sin, we are deserving of hell. The third thing he does is he shows us that we are helpless to be able to get out of our miserable situation. We have sinned, we deserve hell, and there's nothing we can do to fix it. Once we despair over our hopeless situation, the Holy Spirit works within us sorrow. Now we have true, proper sorrow for our sins, and we are now looking to God for mercy. We know we don't deserve anything good from God, but we are looking to him for mercy. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Then he gives us the gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus. And with the gift of faith, we have the forgiveness of sins. So when you talk to someone about this, use your hand and start with this part of your hand, because what happens with all four of these when we make a fist and when we put our finger like that? What has happened is that the gift of faith in Jesus Christ brings forgiveness, and it cancels out all this bad news. It cancels out our sin. It cancels out us going to hell. Well, we are still helpless, but we are rejoicing in the help that God has given us. And then, yes, we are still sorry for our sins, but we know that in Christ we are forgiven. Can you guys do that? What are the five? Sin, hell, helpless, sorrow, faith for forgiveness, faith in Jesus for forgiveness. So I urge you to get those 10 things down from today. that I've mentioned already, because those are so valuable, not only for us to know, but for us to use in speaking to other people. Let's go on now to Ascension Day. We're continuing. So Jesus is telling them now to wait for the Holy Spirit. So thinking about what I read earlier about how Jesus led them out to Bethany, we can presume from the Bible that when they were going to Bethany, they were traveling together, but they were in kind of a loose group, because we pick up here in Acts chapter 1 and it says, gathering them together. And understand, now we're in the location where Jesus actually ascended from. So gathering together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus spoke those words on the day he ascended. If you think about his disciples, they were all from Galilee. So they're down in the area of Jerusalem. They're in Judea. Those guys are all from Galilee, about 100 miles up north. So naturally, as soon as Jesus leaves, they're probably thinking, "Hey guys, let's head home." So Jesus really had to impress upon them and say, "I know what you're thinking. Because I'm Jesus, I can read your hearts and minds, but don't leave. I want you to stick here in town, and I want you to wait until you receive something very important. You are appointed to be my witnesses, and you need the Holy Spirit in order to give you courage, in order to give you knowledge, in order to give you power, and so on." So Jesus told them, stay put. Also, too, it goes on and talks about those disciples being his witnesses. So continuing in Acts chapter 1, it says, "When they had come together, they were asking Jesus, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know periods of time or points in time, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth.'" And then jumping over to Luke, it says, Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them. What about the whole earthly kingdom idea? You would think that the disciples would have had that idea washed out of their minds by now, but they still didn't quite get it, did they? They were looking for Israel to be a free nation again. Rather than have the Romans ruling over them, they wanted to be a free nation. And basically, Jesus said to them, "Hey guys, this whole thing about the nation of Israel, forget it. Get it out of your minds. That's none of your business. God the Father has it all figured out. Your focus is to be receiving that Holy Spirit, having that power, and getting out there and being my witnesses." What is God saying to us? God is saying, stop focusing on things that are unimportant. Stop focusing on things that are temporary. Stop focusing on things that are a waste of time. If we are living when Jesus comes back, I can almost imagine when we see him coming, we're going to be rejoicing on one hand, and on the other hand, we're going to be thinking, "Oh, dear God, there are so many more people I wanted to call to repent. There are so many other things I wanted to do for you that are of eternal significance, and yet, so often, I wasted my time. So often, I was majoring in the minors. So often, I didn't do what was really important." Let's not live with regret, but rather, let's get our priorities in order, let's line them up with the Bible, and let's go forward different starting today. And then we still are on Ascension Day yet, so we come to Jesus' actual ascension. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Oftentimes with ascension, we think about what was said on earth, we think about Jesus actually being ascended, and then We don't really think much about what he's doing now. But what is he doing now? The Bible tells us he's at the right hand of God the Father. We know that the Father has given him all authority in heaven and on earth. And we know from a number of places in the Bible that the very Son of God, our risen and ascended Savior, he is ruling over all things. Now, he's not ruling over God the Father, but he is ruling over everything else except God the Father, and he is doing it for the good of those who trust in him. Does that mean that we're all going to have $1 million in our bank account? By no means. But he's ruling over all who trust in him for our spiritual, for our eternal good. So when God sees us in trouble, he's going to intervene, and that might be difficult for us, that might be painful for us, but he's drawing us back, he's keeping us on track. He has chosen us to be his own, and he's going to keep us on track all the way to heaven. That's why we can rejoice in all things, knowing that God is at work for our good, even if it's hard to understand right at the very moment. And then also, continuing yet on Ascension Day, we come to Jesus' promised return. So continuing in Acts 1, it says, "And as they were gazing intently into the sky," talking about the disciples who were there and witnessed the ascension, "as they were looking into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way you have watched him go into heaven.'" So he is coming back for sure. We don't know exactly when. So what is vital, though, for us? It is vital for us to remain ready. What makes us ready? When we are living in repentance. What is repentance? Knowing we have sin, knowing we deserve hell, knowing we are helpless to fix it, being sorry for our sins, and having trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. May God help us to remember such things and keep living in repentance. And then I bet we all know probably a whole bunch of people where these things don't apply. Let's understand that if Christ came today, God's not going to say to them, "Oh, you know so-and-so? That means you get a pass in." If they don't have repentance, they will be condemned and they will be in a horrible situation forever and ever. So when we think about Jesus' promised return, let's remain ready. Let's reach out to others and help them be ready too. Finally, we come to the end here. Now we're back over to Luke 24 for our final section. And the Bible says, "And they, after worshiping him," talking about Jesus, "after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." What did the disciples do? They obeyed Jesus. They did not go back right away to Galilee. They stayed in the city. They waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How long did it take? It took only 10 days, and then the Spirit was poured out. We're going to come to that here in a week and a half at Bethlehem as we focus on the day of Pentecost, coming very soon. Let me conclude like this. So we come to our reminder again about the big five. So birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. That should be so easy. Such important things about our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the topic of speaking to others, the law and the gospel, calling them to repent. Again, we have the five. So we have sin, hell, helpless, sorrow, and then faith in Jesus. So five very important things for us and for others. And finally, for a little bit of inspiration, what is the good news? Heaven is open for everyone through Jesus, through repentance. So no one is left out. It's all there for everyone. But if they're living without repentance, they have closed the door. They have locked the door. But let's at least give them the key so that they can get in. If they choose not to use the key, we can't help that situation, but let's make sure we are giving them the big five, we are giving them the five parts of repentance, and then they'll have what they need in order to have the truth, and may the Holy Spirit powerfully work through that truth in order to open their eyes and bring them to Christ so that one day we can see our ascended Lord and we can rejoice with him forever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you are risen, ascended, and ruling. We pray that you would so work within us to give us love, give us courage to speak repentance for forgiveness to others. Help us to do it in the kindest way. Help us to do it with much clarity. Help us to share the big five. Help us to share the 5 points on repentance. Maybe even write it down for people. Maybe even give them a copy of this sermon, because we so much want everyone to know the truth and be set free, to rejoice in your forgiveness, and to be together with us forever and ever. Grant that to us. Grant that to many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.